Today, we are jumping right into it with Tia Mowry. We're going to talk all things her new TV show, Life as a Single Mom, Endometriosis, and also me minorly fangirling over the fact that she was on the show that was the biggest deal to me when I was growing up, Sister, Sister. So let's jump right in. Okay, so we were talking about how you're trying to like find the good or happy in all of this.
Yes.
This new chapter.
You know, it has been 2 years now. I like to call it my transition or my new chapter in my life. And I always like to keep things very transparent and honest. It's like a roller coaster. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. literally like you're up, you're down, loop-de-loop.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I am trying to find the joy and the fun in all of this. And I find that when I reach that point, meaning of joy and peace and happiness, is when I'm present.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not living in the past. I'm not living too much in the future. I'm just really focused on the now. And I feel like that brings tons of gratitude. And I'm just grateful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like the best way to live is like in the present, no matter what season of life you find yourself in, is like trying to just be present with whatever feelings, if it's joy, if it's sadness, if it's frustration, just like feeling all of those things. I feel like where people get into trouble is when you try to like not feel any of those things, but it seems like you're very comfortable feeling everything.
I am. And that had to take practice. But I really resonate with what you just said. And I feel like a lot of people, it's very easy to dismiss your feelings, especially if they're uncomfortable. But with support, meaning I'm a huge advocate of just mental health. You know, I'm in therapy and my therapists, they have taught me or have encouraged me to sit in it, name it, see what are its textures, what yeah. does it look like, but then let it pass like a cloud. Because the more you ignore it, the louder it gets and the bigger it gets. And the more you, like you said, just kind of embrace it and say, all right, I'm feeling sad right now, or today is not a good day. And that is okay. But I will get through it. And just because today seems overwhelming or sad, or if I'm frustrated, doesn't mean that my whole day is going to be that way or the next day.
How did you learn how to do that though? Because I think that no matter what season people are in life, it's always about like, how do you push forward or push through and not sit and get stuck in those feelings? Like whatever you might be going through, moving forward, how do you do that?
You know, I really love how transparent you are already. And I'm just really loving this conversation. I am really, really into understanding neuroscience and the brain. I've always been into psychology growing up. I have a major in growth and child development. I studied at Pepperdine University. But my point is that learning these things aren't necessarily foreign to me, but now learning more about it has been essential for my healing. Journaling. I think moving your thoughts from the part of your brain, which can be extremely emotional, to the frontal. When you do that, you are able to make more conscious thoughts, and the thoughts aren't so overwhelming and emotional. So I think just journaling out my thoughts, I take time and make it a priority every morning, even if it's just 5 minutes. And it's crazy how I find that when I do that, you get this release. And then things become more logical, if that makes any sense. So when you're like, oh my God, I suck, or, you know, whatever. And then as you yeah. write it out, you're like, what? that don't make no sense. Like, I actually don't believe that, you know? So I think that, and then meditation has been a huge part of my healing. And I think the reason why it has been helpful is because when you meditate, you, for me, I'm able to hear my inner whispers. So I have a relationship, you know, with my thoughts. And there aren't these kind of like outside influences going on. It's just me, myself, and my thoughts. And I think that has also been, you know, pretty helpful, being radically honest.
Yeah, I just started meditating this summer, actually. And it has been so amazing for just like every single area of my life. And I try to do it also like first thing in the morning because I like to do it before my kids wake up and like just set the tone for the day. And I've noticed that it's helped in so many areas that I have not, that I didn't intend on it necessarily benefiting. And I've also read a lot of things about having meditation around your children and also while you're pregnant, like the benefits that come from that. So I'm interested to see if this child will come out and just be like very zen and calm. Or if it's going to just be like, because my two daughters are very spicy personalities, which I love. But meditation is such a big part of so many people's healing journeys. And I remember when my mom started doing it, when her and my dad got separated and she started making it a practice in her life. And I was very familiar with prayer being a practice of our lives growing up, which is, you know, for some people, a different form of meditation. But I love the idea of whether it's journaling or meditation, having some sort of a routine in the morning, I'm sure also helps set yourself up for success every day.
Oh my God, totally. And I also, you know, you talked about just, you know, being a mom. I think it is so important for us as moms to give a part of your day to yourself. Because as soon as those kids wake up, it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about catering to them, nurturing them, feeding them, you know, getting them ready for school. And, you know, if we're just keeping it real, those moments on a daily basis can be extremely overwhelming and exhausting at times. And if you're not able to pour into you, then your cup becomes empty. And how can you put your best foot forward if you're not replenishing yourself in some sort of way?
How do you do that though? Because it's something that my oldest daughter is 4 years old, so I'm fairly new into this. But I mean, when you're going through something in life, or if you're experiencing a new season in life, or you're just crazy busy, all of which you are, and also balancing motherhood and now a new dynamic in parenthood of being on your own with it. So like, how do you balance that with also what you're just talking about with the self-care component and being the best version of you for your kids, which is easier said than done every day?
It totally is. I think for me, it's really taking everything a day at a time. I think when I first became a mother, I used to think that there was such a thing called balance. But
everybody talks about it.
Girl, and quickly I realized that that is not the case. I am human. I'm not perfect. So I think for me is forgiving myself along the way, meaning some days I'm going to be able to cater to. Some days it's just not going to happen, you know, and that is okay. And then I think, I guess what I can say is I used to be the type of person where I used to always want to check things off, right? A list. And if I didn't check those things off the list, I failed. I know it's kind of weird to say, to think, but I used to live in this state of perfection and wanting to just be perfect. But the more that I embraced that, that's impossible. It's not something that is tangible. I've learned to give myself grace and just move through my day, day by day. But my children are always my priority.
You mentioned that you are always transparent about everything that you go through. Of course, you also are doing a show that shows so much of your life, which is amazing and so fun, and I love. When it comes to motherhood, though, what does that look like for you with having the transparency with your children? And, or, you know, do you, is that something that you're kind of navigating as they get older? Because it's always like, how much do you talk to your kids about mental health? How much do you tell them, like, mommy's frustrated right now? Like, I'm also like trying to figure out what the dynamic there is, because I'm super close to my mom and she's always been super open and transparent, which I think is amazing. And also, as you do it yourself and you go through different seasons like you're in right now, how much of that do you communicate?
You know, I am a huge believer of honesty is the best policy, but of course, keeping things kid appropriate, right?
Yeah.
Being mindful and aware and understanding that kids, their brains aren't fully developed yet. And there's just certain things that you, that's off limits, you know, because they just can't comprehend. But at the same time, what's really important to me is being open about emotions and being open about how you feel. And kids learn through observation, right? Mm-hmm. So I can tell them, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be overwhelmed. But if they see that I'm trying to, and they're very smart, if they see that I'm trying to cover things up or lie to them about how I'm feeling, I don't think that, in my opinion, I don't think that that's me setting a great example for them. So to answer your question, I allow my kids to see that I'm sad. I allow my kids to see that mommy's frustrated or overwhelmed or having a rough day, because I want them to be okay to express themselves in that manner too. Again, we're not perfect human beings. It is also hard doing those things, you know, in front of them and moving through your day, because this transition is not easy. Being a single mm-hmm. mom is not easy, and it's new for all of us. It's not mm-hmm. just new for me. It's new for them as well. So the more nurturing, the more transparent, the more we communicate about our feelings, I think we have created a safe place within the household. And I feel like that's what is just most important to me, is that my children can be able to be, feel, express. And it's, I've noticed it. They, even my son Cree, more than my daughter, because he's older, when he sees that I'm able to express and I'm being open about my feelings, then he does mm-hmm. the same. So when I yeah. say, how are you doing today? Then he will open up to me and be transparent and authentic and honest. And I think he's able to do that because he sees that mommy's doing that too. And it's a safe place for us. There's no judgment about how we feel around here, even if we're frustrated and we're angry. So that's you know, my take on moving through that.
It's such a gift to be able to give your kids the safe environment to be able to allow them to feel and also show up in whatever version of themselves they are experiencing in that day or that moment. Was that something that was always a conscious choice for you, or is that a new thing for you, or did you grow up that way? Where did that come from?
Wow, you're good.
I'm like literally asking, I'm thinking about all these things as you say them, like, like I wonder how that like came to be.
To be fully honest, I grew up, I feel like not really being able to, it was more of a cultural thing, meaning my house, my rules. This is the way it goes, right? No judgment or blame on my parents or anything like that, right? But I saw the impact and I felt the impact of that as a child and as an adult. So once I had children, I was very intentional about creating a safe environment and a safe place for them to express themselves, that we didn't have to always be on the same page, you know what I mean? Or think the same way. Like, it's beautiful when someone's able to express themselves and to move through thought, you know, and to move through feelings and there be no judgment on it. Like I said, I'm encouraging my children to be independent thinkers and to not be so codependent on me. And yes, I want to share my beliefs. Yes, I want to put them in the right direction.
Yeah.
My opinion, you know, of what that is. But I want them to be able to discover their wants, needs, desires on their own. And that's important to me because I want them to be individual thinkers. I want them to be authentic to themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny thing with parenting and also just like motherhood in general is, you know, as you go through different ages of your kids and phases, it's like, what do you want to replicate that your parents did or from your own childhood? And then what do you want to change? Are there things that you want to do the same? Are there things you want to do differently? I'm constantly like, I feel like I talk to my parents very openly about a lot of our childhood growing up. And also there's so much that's changed since I was little. So it's like a constant conversation. And then obviously having open communication between my husband and I to get that to be on the same page. It's like, you're always learning when it comes to parenting. And there's never, my mom said to me, she was like, you know, so many people say once you're an empty nester, that parenting is just like, okay, you're good. She's like, parenting you guys as older children is a totally different, like chapter of parenting that is just like, I mean, equally as, I mean, invested and hands-on in a totally different way, of course. So I think the idea that you're so aware and mindful to give your kids permission to feel all these feelings is, first of all, such a huge gift. And also, I'm sure it comes with navigating your own childhood and your own way of like, how am I mothering? And now that you're doing it as a single parent, how am I mothering as a single parent versus how I was before?
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit something right on the head, or the nail on the head. We are constantly evolving and growing. And that's what you want. So I feel like, you know, I want my children to have that flexibility, right? Again, to not be so stuck on one way of thinking. And also, the world is constantly evolving and changing. And so I just want my children, again, to just be able to be flexible as they move through life. But again, tradition is also very important to me as well. I think it's about allowing them and giving them the space to choose.
We've talked so much about motherhood and parenting and the fact that there's no such thing as balance, which I think is such a great reminder to always say to moms, dads, anybody who's just like wondering, how does she balance it all? How does she do it all? It's like, there's no such thing. No. But at the end of the day, when it comes to your self-care and your support? Where are you finding that to be most beneficial right now?
Yeah. You know, I always like to put, or I have been putting more of a spotlight on chosen family. I feel like family is something that's always there and always, you know, present. But at the same time, I think your friends and your chosen family and that circle is also equally as important. And so I've been getting tons of support from my friends, my girlfriends. I call them like my, you know, girl tribe, should I say. And it's very diversified, meaning this tribe. Some of my friends are younger. I've known them ever since they were like 5 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. Some are not married. Some are in a union. But then also, I have been getting tons of support from my cousin, and his name is Jerome. He is like, I would say, we have like nicknames for each other, and he's my anchor. Like, again, he's also known me ever since I could remember. And he's been a part of my life for a very, very long time. He's been a part of all of these different chapters in my life. And just, he's just full of wisdom and just knowledge. But again, I also want to put a spotlight on mental health and therapy. I've been getting tons of support from my therapists. They are amazing. You know, just to have that knowledge and that perspective from an outside source has been so beneficial and healing. I actually have therapy after this.
I love that.
You know, and again, I think I grew up, you know, and you know, my parents, therapy wasn't something that was accessible to them, mm-hmm. or thought about or talked about. You know, my family, we love God and we are, you know, religious in so many beautiful ways. So prayer has definitely been something that we do, but I also believe that you can mix the two, meaning you can also pray, go to God, mm-hmm. but also have a behavioral therapist or a therapist that really teaches you about your thought patterns and your traumas. And really what I have been doing is working on, I was trying to see if I have a photo of her somewhere, but my inner child, meaning me as a little girl. And it has been extremely beneficial just tapping in to that. So I think that I would say has been, that would definitely have to be kind of like my roundup when it comes to my support system. It's friends, family, and therapy.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a gift, not only to be giving yourself the ability to work through childhood or going back to the younger little version of yourself and going back and, like, you know, working and healing on those moments in your life, but it's also such a gift to be able to give your children, like, not only them watching you do that in an open and honest and transparent way, but also just like leading by example that therapy is a thing to look at as a strength and not something to look at as anything but that, is such a huge gift, I think, for people to do. I always tell people who are questioning therapy, because I'm also such a huge advocate of therapy, and also, and of course, I grew up with religion being a part of my life, and it still is a part of my life. And I love the mixing of the two, of course. And I'm always like, any support that you can get that improves your mental health, go ahead and do it. But I think it's like, for kids to be able to watch their parents lead by example and really take time to make that part of a routine, show that it's important to them, and also that it has such clear benefits, is such a gift to be able to give kids that, like, our parents didn't have, you know? So good job for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. No, I really appreciate that. And, you know, like you said, at the end of the day, this isn't just about me. This is how I see it. It is about my children. It is about my children's children. It's about the generations after me. Mm-hmm. But if we were, you know, talking about just being in the present right now, I think when I work on self and when I learn more about self and work on just growth, to me, it helps you have better connections in life. Mm-hmm. Meaning when you work on yourself, you are able to have a deeper, meaningful relationship with your children. You're able to have a deeper, meaningful relationship with your partner. You are able to have a deeper, meaningful relationship with your associates at your job. At the end of the day, how I see it is you're able to tap into building a better community. So to build that better community, it starts with self. Mm-hmm. It starts with you working on self.
Yeah.
It starts with you understanding how you played a role in your own pain and suffering in your life. And how I see that is understanding your traumas, understanding your triggers, understanding your learning more about your inner child, doing that shadow work so that, again, you could have really meaningful relationships to build a better community. So at the end of the day, it's not just about you, even though it starts with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that also, that I totally agree with all of it. And it also takes a huge amount of courage and bravery and honesty by you to be able to do that because it's uncomfortable. And that's where people have resistance towards it. It's like, I don't want to sit with those uncomfortable feelings of doing inner child work or reflecting on trauma or, like, you know, not being honest about how I'm feeling. Like, that requires you to get uncomfortable. And so I think it's really admirable to know that you're doing that work, not only for yourself, but for your family and just like the future is, it's the best kind of work you can do.
Thank you so much. No, I really appreciate it. And you're right. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy, but I'm starting to realize that is where the magic happens. That is where growth happens when you move through discomfort. And just because you are uncomfortable, and just because there is some discomfort there, it doesn't mean that you're heading in the wrong direction. It actually means
the right one.
The right one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if you think about with working out, you know, if you're just totally like, dum, 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 you don't feel it, you're like, there's not going to be any growth or change.
No.
But when you're like, oh my God, this is hard.
Yeah. It's so true. It's like, yeah, it's a mental workout in its own way. It's like, let's go through, right? And then you have like amazing results. So
yeah,
I know you're so busy. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. You're so wonderful. You're doing a great job. And I admire you in a variety of ways, but as a mother, most importantly.
Oh,
so
thank you so much.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, I really appreciate it. And I was very excited to talk with you. And back at you, you know, kudos to you. You're doing a great job and all of that good stuff. So thank you.
Thank you so much to Tia Mowry for taking time. All of the information she talked about was so interesting. I'm so excited to hear about this new chapter in her life and to learn about her journey to motherhood and her new show. And I'm just so grateful she took the time to talk. So thank you.